This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And as we get going here, every time I hear about a notable celebrity death, for some reason, it's indelibly etched in my mind where I was when I heard about it. One of the first ones for me was Elvis. I was in my mom's backyard. There was a radio on the porch, and I heard the announcer say that Elvis had just died. I was at the Kingdom covering a Sonics basketball game. The couple years the Sonics played in the Kingdom, I want to say this was 1980, maybe, when John Lennon was murdered. And I was right outside of the locker room about to go in as a 18-year-old kid to do post-game interviews. And a friend told me that John Lennon had just died. I was on the air when Michael Jackson died. I was in my driveway when my son-in-law told me that Robin Williams had committed suicide. And I don't know why this Bob Saget one has captured the nation to the extent that it has, but it unquestionably has, and me included, even though I was never a big fan of Full House. I never watched it. But, man, one of my girls was a big fan. One time we did a family vacation in San Francisco, and we had to go to the house, that skinny house that had the exterior image shot of the Full House house. And my daughter had to go up on the porch and take a picture. Had to be very annoying for the people who owned that house after Full House used it as the exterior shot. But, see, you know, I kind of, through osmosis, I knew about it. I would see him on America's Funniest Home Videos. More recently, when my favorite, all-time favorite comedian, Norm Macdonald, died, Norm Macdonald and Bob Saget were very close. And so I listened to Bob Saget's podcast about Norm Macdonald, about how shocking his death was, and felt like it was very emotional, very raw. And so, anyway, I'll always remember. Yesterday evening, my wife and I were driving to bring soup to one of our daughters, my wife and me. And that daughter called us, and in the course of the conversation, she told me that Bob Saget had just died. And I remember precisely where I was. I probably always will, just like I have some of these other notable ones. So I don't know why he has been the lead story, the top story in every newspaper yesterday and today, but there was something about this guy that seemed to captivate people. And then Nicole just told me, I didn't even know this, I have a fella who's been my longest running business relationship and a very good friend of mine. And he just posted, because he and Bob Saget were best friends, or very, very, very close friends. And I was just reading the very emotional posts that my friend posted about Bob Saget. So anyway, there's just a very long way of saying, and the first person I thought about when I heard about it was you, Nicole, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a huge Full House fan, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
But I, you know what? Part of the reason I think some people are so, you know, captured by this story is that he was 65, which really doesn't feel that old, to die of natural causes. And by every account, it sure seems like he died of natural causes, whether it was a stroke or a heart attack, something along those lines. But he seemed very healthy and well the night before, was not even, from an account of the other comedian that opened for him, they were drinking coffee and tea. Yeah. It seems like he was a healthy 65-year-old man that died of natural causes. And that natural causes thing just really I think, grabs everybody. You know, Betty White, you know, she was loved, and that's why she was remembered. But, you know, you expect a 99-year-old to die at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody drinks and drives, somebody does drugs, and you're like, well, you know, that, they made those choices. But this, for all accounts, seems like a healthy 65-year-old dying of natural causes, and I think that really freaks people out.
Yeah, and maybe, because they said there was no evidence, but all they had was what was in the hotel room. There was no evidence of drug use or foul play, but you never know, I suppose.
Well, the autopsy, don't put that in people's heads. All of his friends and family say that's not the case.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it could be natural causes. I've gotten a bunch of messages from listeners who said, I bet he just got boosted. And I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people who think that sudden unexplained deaths these days are because of the vaccine.
I put some audio in there, but he talked about just recovering from COVID a few weeks ago. So he just got over COVID as well.
Yeah. In fact, I said that my 20-year business relationship with a guy who is really close friends with Bob Saget. He just texted me as we were speaking seconds ago. He's going to come on with us at 2:05 to talk about that relationship with
I've seen his pictures with Bob for years. And
I haven't.
I kept keeping an ear out for when Bob was going to come to town next so that I could hit him up for some backstage stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he could have arranged it. Okay, so I've got some audio to play. But yeah, so he was 65. He seemed healthy. He did a two-hour stand-up set, and that's very long. Most stand-up sets are between an hour and an hour 15 because they're rather exhausting. But he did 2 hours just the night before. He was doing a multi-city tour here in 2022. And so he seemed very healthy. He looked fit. He was didn't appear to be overweight or any of that other stuff. Okay, so tell me about this first thing that we're going to play. Because this is, and I don't know if you want to mention which friend connected you to this message. Do you, or would you rather?
Oh, I don't think she would mind. But Jessamine, who is a friend of both of ours, her brother is an actor in New York City, and he has a group of friends, and one of them, it was their birthday, and the group of friends all pitched in on this cameo and asked Bob Saget to record a message for their friend. It was cute. They asked him to record a vulgar message because, as you know, Bob Saget was known for his very wholesome image on Full House, but very,
very raunchy.
Not wholesome.
Yeah, he was a very raunchy
comedy.
Okay,
right, so they asked him for a raunchy message. So the raunchy part, he might have sworn a couple times, but he had a button that he was pushing to swear for him in this cameo video.
Okay, so our friend Jessamine McIntyre, her brother and some friends, they just had Bob Saget record this cameo. But listen to what Bob Saget says towards the end of it, because it's a little bit eerie in context of the news.
I don't know, dude. I don't know how old you are. I don't care. I just want you to celebrate yourself. You should. You should. We should all be celebrating that we're alive. I hope you're well. I'm sure you are. You probably drink heavily and do all kinds of drugs. That's fantastic because you work in TV production. I mean, how else are you going to meet people? I send you all my best. I guess sincere at this point. This is where I tell you. Yeah, that's where I say that, because that's how I feel, man. I'm just sending you my best. Happy birthday.
Okay, so that was right towards the end of what was a several-minute-long cameo, but he said, we should all celebrate that we're alive. He just said that. That's crazy. And then...
The audio I was telling you about, this podcast that he just did last week after getting over COVID, he also said we should celebrate. He kind of was alluding to, we should. I'm thankful that I'm still here. It's very odd how many times that came up recently for him.
Yeah, and here it is on the podcast, joking about just having had COVID.
It is not good. It does not feel good. I had it.
And, yeah, that's not good.
I don't know if I had Delta or I might have had a combo. Maybe at one point they were working together. I don't know. I think at one point Omicron was opening for Delta, but then Omicron got so big, Delta's opening now. But the thing is, with audiences, I don't care. I mean, I'm going to entertain that audience to the best of my ability for what's there, for whatever's there. So if it's half full, I go, wow, that's disappointing. And then all of a sudden, 200 more people show up.
because they decide at the last minute, what the hell, when are we going to see Bob? You know, he might die from COVID. Let's go see him.
Don't say that.
Don't say that. He just said that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And this is why I, even though I wasn't, you know, as big a fan as you, certainly, Nicole, but this is why I respected the guy, because everything he had was because he worked his tail off. And I respect anybody who works really hard to get what they have, which has kind of been my my approach professionally throughout my life. So he was talking to Al Roker about that.
Why do you think you've had such longevity in this business?
I have been a workaholic since I was a little kid. I was not good in school. I played around too much. I wanted to make people laugh. But I have always constantly worked, no matter what. I worked in, while I'm working at a deli, I'm doing improv at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm making films at Temple University. And then when I went to L.A., I wanted to learn acting. So I went to acting school for 5 years while I would be doing stand-up. And then constantly trying to make movies, always trying to do that. And so I think that's my secret is I just work really hard. I work as hard as I can. And I'm not real, I'm not that smart. I don't retain that much stuff. But I know I have a good people sense, I think.
And that has been kind of a central message of me, mine, to my kids, to my audience, my listeners, is that you can outwork your competition and achieve great things. And it's getting easier and easier to outwork your competition because a lot of the competition doesn't want to work very hard anymore and has grown up a little soft and not with that same ethic. So I always appreciated that about him. And here is the show that captivated Nicole and some of my kids.
Good morning, troops. It is now 0700, and it's time to attack the enemy. Grease, grime, slime, sludge. And that's just Joey's room.
So I will talk just over or just under an hour from now with one of my, maybe my closest business associate for 20 years, who was, I just discovered, really close friends with Bob Saget. So we'll do that just at the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, we got some other news that we have to get to. Up next in the big lead.
It's the Fastest 15, Dory.
Oh, is that what it is?
It is,
hey,
yeah.
I'm glad you jumped in, Andrew. I was talking on Friday about one of my daughter's cars just went over 100,000 miles, and she was trying to decide, should I sell it or should I? She took it to a garage that we really like that has taken care of our family vehicles for about 25, 30 years now. And they said, well, you just hit 100,000 miles, and we could do a complete 100,000 mile checkup. It'll cost you about $1,200. And my daughter said, yeah, let's do it because I'm going to drive this car into the ground because used car prices are so expensive right now. And that's why you told me before we went on the air today, Andrew, you helped your parents sell a Honda minivan over the weekend, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. What year was it?
2002 Honda Odyssey.
Okay. And before all these used car price stories came out, I would have guessed that maybe you got $2,000 for it, but I said, oh, let me guess how much it was. I said, I bet you got $6,000, and I was pretty close. You were asking $57,000, and what'd you get for it?
We got $53,000 at the end of the day. The guy wanted to go a little short, but he understood what the market was doing. A lot of the other Odysseys we were looking at just to see how to price it out were the cars with, like, double the miles, but looking real pretty. We're going for, like, almost $7,000.
That's crazy. I mean, minivans, and look, when our girls were younger, my wife and I had a couple of minivans, the Chrysler minivans, so we just drove into the ground. And minivans kind of saved the Detroit auto industry back in the, you know, the 90s. It was the vehicle that every suburban family had to have to get their kids and their friends around to sports and to music and to all that. But getting for a 2002, an almost 20-year-old vehicle, to get $5,300, that is yet another example of what we were talking about on Friday, and that is that used car prices are just insane, right? Not insane, because I'm sure the people who bought it from your parents, I'm sure they were pleased with that.
Very much so.
Thrilled. Yeah. It's crazy. Okay, elsewhere in the Fastest 15, last week, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was photographed down in Florida where she was partying with her boyfriend and she wasn't wearing a mask. They were sitting at a restaurant. They went to a drag queen show and she wasn't wearing a mask. Now, mask mandates are the order of the day in her home state of New York. But she went to Florida so she could party unmasked. And then when people called her out on it, she said, Republicans, they all want to have sex with me. To which I say, ew. So anyway, then it turns out over this weekend, after she had been partying unmasked in Florida and going after anybody who dared criticize it, it turns out that AOC got COVID. And she announced over the weekend that she tested positive. So for a far left person who doesn't mind the do what I say, not what I do laws, I don't want anybody to get COVID. But it is at best ironic that somebody who fled her state so she could be unmasked and partying, even though all the people she considers her loyal subjects, they're not allowed to do it in her state. All right, and all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, on Thursday and Friday, I started getting literally hundreds of messages, emails, text messages from people saying, Dory, are you aware that this coming Wednesday, the Board of Health in Washington State is going to take some public comment on quarantine centers, where they would be able to involuntarily allow the police and military to snatch up people who test positive and put them in a quarantine facility. I'm going to talk to a state senator about that because there's a little bit of truth to this. And there's a little bit of urban legend to this. And we're going to dive in and get you the absolute truth next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as you know, Washington State has some of the most restrictive COVID mandates in the country. We're one of the only states with a mask mandate still. They are pushing for the injections in as many citizens as possible. But late last week, I started getting literally hundreds of messages and emails from listeners who wanted to make sure I knew about a Washington State Board of Health meeting that on the surface looked very ominous. It talked about quarantine centers. It talked about using law enforcement to involuntarily grab up people who might be testing positive and putting them in a quarantine center. And I want to find out if any of this is just unfounded fear or if there's something legit here. State Senator Jeff Wilson is part of the Freedom Caucus in the Washington State Senate. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, always good to talk with you, sir.
Well, good morning, Dory, and thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, so like I said, this just took off like wildfire with listeners contacting me saying, do you know about this Board of Health meeting? Do you know about the public comment period? And I know you are aware of all of this. So tell me your take on some of these fears that are flying around out there right now.
Well, thanks, Dory. You know, the Washington State Board of Health has printed their agenda for a meeting that's coming up this Wednesday on January 12th. And as you noted, all of us have received a number of inquiries regarding some agenda items, specifically the following agenda. Item number 9, a rules hearing continuance. And this is the section when they're going to talk about detention and quarantine centers. However, this has been a placeholder. This really isn't much of a valid issue because it's an ongoing discussion as it relates to way back in 2003, we've had discussions on voluntary quarantine and isolation center. So this really isn't tied into the COVID. However, it certainly could. And this is really an HIV clarification issue coming out of this agenda number nine, Dory. The state has been charged to clarify.
So I want to stress that. So there are a couple of things at play here. First of all, it was last year, actually 2020, I believe, when the state was buying that motel in Centralia that they said could be used as a quarantine center. And that's when people started to get their antenna up, thinking, well, are they going to just start involuntarily committing people who test positive to this quarantine center? And then, like you said, Senator, even though this rule with the Board of Health, it may have predated COVID, but the Board of Health was awfully sloppy at best in not sending out a directive saying this is not specifically about COVID, because a lot of people interpret it, and understandably so, after I read this rule and after I've looked into this, that there are people who think they're going to snatch up COVID-positive people and involuntarily quarantine them.
Yeah. You know, Dory, that's not going to happen.
Right.
And there are those centers around the state, and they are of course, for voluntary. Key words here. And, you know, the state, they put out a very lazy agenda. They could have clarified, and thus we have this confusion. But that's just on that one item, Dory. We still have another agenda item, which is number 11 on their meeting notice for this week. I'm sure you're aware of.
Yeah, well, and tell my listeners about that, because they're in fact trying to clarify that one earlier today. But tell me about that one.
Well, and that one gets a little tricky, because there is discussions that are ongoing about, well, at what age and what immunizations should in fact be part of requirements for your children to go to school. And that discussion will end up invoking and involving, say, around the discussion of COVID. And if nothing else, this is a valid agenda item, of course. There'll be no vote. But if nothing else, Dory, I'm grateful that so many people got alarmed, as they should, because these issues, I mean, come on, they deal with privacy and our right to self-determination of our children or our families. And these are very important topics, and I'm grateful that it came to the public eye.
Well, and as I said, after a weekend of really unchecked, not quite hysteria, but people who are doing what good citizens do, and that's being a watchdog of government, after a weekend of this being rather rampant, Senator, they did send out an update to Wednesday's meeting just this morning. And what they said is that this is just going to reflect state law on agenda item number 9, the first one you talked about. And they say that all of this predates COVID. So they're trying to lower the temperature on that one. But the other one, this chapter 11 that you talk about, where they are talking about our kids in school and how they're going to manage that in the face of COVID, I do find that to be a little bit alarming.
You know, Dorian, that's just it. They should have been very clear in there, because the discussion is and cannot avoid the COVID under their agenda item number 11. That's very, very important. All parents, guardians, we should be very much paying attention to this. It's a little scary at times, because policy, as we know, is set by all of our agencies, and one of them is our Office of the Governor. And I often wonder, are our boards that are comprised of appointed members, you know, are they free of the influence of, say, another policy? And in this case, we should be a little concerned. This is something for everybody to be watching. I certainly will be, but I don't expect any final action, naturally. It takes a long time to move this
forward. Right, but here's why I think people are so concerned, Senator, and that's because Jay Inslee has granted himself emergency powers, which were designed to only last for a week or two, and now it's been going on 2 years now, and that gives him some extra constitutional powers. We have seen some business owners who have been destroyed by the state of Washington for the crime of just keeping their business open and keeping paychecks going to their employees. We're seeing an awful lot of stuff that seems constitutionally very shady. And then, on an unrelated note, just last week, on Thursday, Jay Inslee said that he wants to effectively suspend the First Amendment and punish people if they question election results, which is just a preemptive squelching of free speech that there's no way that can pass constitutional muster. But I look at all of these things, Senator, that Jay Inslee is doing, and all of these things that do not abide by our Constitution, and no wonder people are saying, man, we got to be more wary now than ever of some of the things that are coming out of our state government.
Dory, absolutely. It's so important that your listeners get this message, to pay attention. The governor's going to do what the governor's going to do, but I'll offer up to your listeners that more people now die in Washington state from drug overdoses than they do from the COVID or the Omni variant at this point. And yeah, we've got to be passing on good information to people rather than special information to suit a platform.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like a lot of what's being pushed out by government is just designed to scare us, because when you scare people, they are more easily controlled. Okay, so bottom line, Senator, is that there's not going to be some strike force, which is also language that they used in these official state documents, a strike force of law enforcement snatching up unvaccinated people or people who test positive and locking us away. That's correct, that is not going to happen, right?
That is correct, sir. And for radio, that would be poppycock. It is not a truthful
poppycock
statement.
Okay. All right. You can tell me off the air what word you really wanted to use there. All right. Senator, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dory. Appreciate it.
All right, State Senator Jeff Wilson. And so, no, they're not going to be in a military or law enforcement strike force snatching up people. But the senator's point is a solid one, and that is more than ever, you and I need to be vigilant about what's being proposed by our leaders, our so-called leaders, because a lot of it is stretching the bounds of the Constitution. I'd love to know what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Coming up right after the top of the hour news, I'm going to talk to a very close friend of mine. And I didn't know that he was really close friends with Bob Saget. So I'll find out about this celebrity death and how it impacts people. Here in our state, I've been getting a bunch of messages from people who are just discovering with the new year that their insurance rates are skyrocketing. And I've been talking about this ever since it was first proposed. I've been trying to fight it. I'm sorry to say that our state insurance commissioner, Mike Kreidler, is too cowardly to come on and debate with me what he has done to good, honest, hardworking people in our state. But it turns out that the number one factor that insurance companies use to give you rate reductions in your premiums is your credit score. And Mike Kreidler, last year, state insurance commissioner, he decided because of COVID, and this is one of the great evils of what Jay Inslee and people like Mike Kreidler are doing. They are passing all sorts of emergencies because of COVID, things that are just flat out unconstitutional. It shouldn't be up to Mike Kreidler to tell insurance companies how much they should charge customers and what factors they can use when they decide what to charge customers. But because of the COVID emergency, and I know this makes absolutely zero sense, but Mike Kreidler is peddling just an absolute lie here. He says that insurance rates are not equitable. Wait, where'd my woke word dice go? Oh, there they are. All right. He said that they're not equitable and they don't provide enough inclusion and diversity. Hey, D-I-E, die. That's what I was just rolling. What a coinkydink. So he said we should give insurance price breaks to people with bad credit and we should punish people with good credit. Apparently, according to our insurance commissioner, having good credit is evidence of white supremacy or something like that, that's especially whitish and supremacist during COVID. So I just got a message from a listener just at the beginning of the show today saying, please talk again about Mike Kreidler because my listeners' insurance rates just went up $700 this year. I had another listener late last week. His insurance rates went up 15%, which worked out to about $500 a year. And a lot of people are still baffled. Please, please, please don't ever miss an episode of this show. If you miss it, listen to the podcast, because if you did over the last year plus, you'd be armed with all the info you know to be aware of what was going on. And maybe if enough people were aware, you could have fought this. But we have an insurance commissioner who has decided that for the sake of diversity, that we have to reward people with bad credit. And by the way, just in and of itself, that to me is racist. Mike Kreidler believes that minorities have bad credit and that white people have good credit. Well, to just assume that, Mr. Commissioner, makes you make economic assumptions about people based on the color of their skin. I guess you could combine that into scholar. I don't know. But that's what's happening. So a bunch of people are just now getting, here at the first of the year, their new insurance premiums. And this is, like so much of the nonsense that's happening around here, this is about a Democratic politician, Mike Kreidler, who has turned common sense upside down. In a commonsensical world, you would be rewarded for having good credit, and you would have to have consequences for having bad credit. But no, not in Washington and not with Democrats. In Washington State, you should be rewarded for having bad credit and punished for having good credit. Mike Kreidler, you still have an open invitation. I've been trying for almost a year to get you to come on. I know you're too cowardly to debate this issue because there is no common sense approach for your perspective, but the invitation is still out there. You can check the news and then Big Lead at 2 next.